2.
Chapter
check
2.
1, 2.
Verses
test right on. Thank you.
26.
Now the pulpit.
And this passage provides the answer to the question, how do I know if I'm really genuinely saved, if I have the genuine faith in Jesus Christ? What does that look like? Can someone's faith be seen? If someone is saved by Jesus, can that be seen in their lives? And this is so important because we do not want to be deceived into thinking that we are okay with the Lord and we're really not. How terrible that would be if we are just coasting through life thinking, I'm fine with the Lord, and in actuality, we are not fine with the Lord. We are not righteous before the Lord. We are not defined as Scripture defines us before the Lord. So that's my prayer for us this morning as we look into this passage. It's a heavy passage, and it's a very clear passage. So let's pray before we jump in. Father, we need your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to understand this passage. We need your Holy Spirit to soften our hearts so that we will actually hear what you're saying here. It is so clear, but some of us, if left on our own, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. Lord, help us not to miss it this morning. Anybody that is here that is not saved according to your scripture, how you say, Lord, bring your conviction and your clarity this morning. Those that are saved, bring your encouragement and incredible joy that we are found in Christ. But Lord, have your way with us. Please, have your way with us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 14 introduces the topic. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? James is speaking to Christians, my brothers, and he's basically asking, is genuine saving faith in Jesus Christ just a matter of claiming to have faith in Jesus Christ, claiming to be a Christian, claiming you are going to heaven, claiming that you are saved, having said a prayer at one time and now you are saved, feeling bad about your sin at one point, feeling very strongly that you are okay with God, believing that Jesus loves you, believing something about Jesus saving you from hell. Is that what faith is all about? Is that all you need to be assured of your salvation, or to be assured that your loved one has salvation? Is faith just making claims, making professions? Is the phrase, he's saved, but he isn't under the lordship of Jesus Christ yet? Can that phrase be true? Can saving faith exist without external biblical works, deeds that line up with God's word, behavior conforming to God's word, lives reflecting the Bible, evidence about these claims? James asks, what good is faith without works? What good is faith that has no effect on how a person thinks, how they feel, how they act? Can that faith save them? What good is faith with no works? Faith of words only. Like if one hears about a brother or sister who is poorly dressed and doesn't have enough food for the day, so they're on the verge of starvation. What good is a faith that looks at a brother in that situation and says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but does absolutely nothing to alleviate the hunger and their lack of clothes? What good is that kind of just talking faith with no actions? Is that even faith? Can that be claimed as faith that the Bible calls for? is that believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. That response to a hungry and poorly clothed person is so bizarre. Go in peace, be warmed and filled. It's like saying, oh, God bless you in your starvation. Hey, stay warm and well fed. Bye. Well, they would if they could, they can't. And the person says, hey, well, try to stay warm and try to find some food. I'm good over there. I got tons of food and clothing for myself. But hey, God bless you as you go and try to get that stuff for yourself. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. There is no love there for the neighbor, no conformity to the word of God. Empty talk, empty words with no actions. Is that really faith? No, that's no good. That's not saving faith in Jesus, but rather empty words. Verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If there is just the claim of faith with no godly works, it's not faith, it's dead. There is no having Jesus as Savior without embracing Him as Lord. Now, James here is not teaching Roman Catholic theology, which wrongly teaches salvation by faith and baptism and good works, penance. This is not about the method of salvation, but the outcome of salvation. Scripture is clear on how people are saved. Romans 3, verse 24, sinners are justified by His grace as a gift. Romans 3, verse 28, one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Galatians 2, verse 15, justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law. So salvation is by God's grace alone, received by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, not works. Our good deeds, good works, well-lived lives, they don't save us. And that is not what James is advocating here. James is saying that the consequence of genuine faith is God-honoring works. It's not about adding good works to your faith, but rather genuine saving faith will produce good works. Genuine saving faith will be demonstrated by righteous deeds. You have saving faith in Jesus Christ, you will have God-honoring actions. Jesus is your Savior, you will live for Him as Lord of your life. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. This idea that saving faith and works, that they can be separated, that doesn't exist. That doesn't happen. Works, deeds, how one lives their life displays one's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those with saving faith in Jesus Christ, they obey Him. They love their neighbor as themselves. They respond to the poorly clothed and hungry person by providing for them. The church family is important to them. So they serve and tithe and are in genuine relationships and are a part of the church service. The genuine believer in Jesus Christ, they don't lie on their taxes. They live to make a big deal out of God. They treat their wife like Christ treats the church. They treat their husbands with respect. They forgive people. They don't gossip. They feed on the word of God and on and on and on. Their faith is seen. It's not some mystical thing that just gets talked about. There is a movement in the church that loves mysticism, and it's all about this mystical world of me and Jesus. No. True faith in the Lord Jesus Christ manifests itself through how one lives. There is always practical evidence of faith in Jesus Christ. Dead faith has no godly works because it can't produce godly works because it is no faith. Faith and works, they are inseparable because saving faith produces God-glorifying works. Faith and works, Jesus as Savior and Lord. Faith without works is dead. Jesus as Savior without being Lord is dead. Verse 19 is a very powerful wake-up call. Demons have some very accurate beliefs about God. They believe God is one. Yet they live how they want to live for their father, the devil. Now, you say you're a Christian. You believe Jesus loves you. But there is no evidence of belief and faith and trust in Jesus in your life. That kind of so-called faith is on the same level as what demons have. It's the same kind of worthless faith of demons. Verse 20, it's foolish. It's foolish to think true Bible faith unto salvation exists apart from producing God-glorifying works. That kind of so-called faith is useless, it's dead, it's not real, it's unacceptable to God. The absence of a God-honoring life is evidence of the absence of true faith in Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, verse 8, Jesus said to Pharisees, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Live out your repentance and your faith in Jesus Christ. Bear fruit. Live it. Live it. John 14, verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." You have faith in Jesus, loving and worshiping him, then you'll be keeping his word, obeying him with your heart, soul, mind, strength, body, actions, everything, obedience to God's word. When God saves people, the old person is dead and gone. He brings to life this new person in Christ. The new person sees God for who he is. The new person sees themselves for who they are before the holy God. And they live in reality now. They live differently. They can't live the same as before because they are new creations in Christ. And that newness can be seen. This isn't about you feeling like you're saved. The Bible is saying that we can know we are saved because the saved live for God. Christians can be seen because of obedience to God, caring about what the Lord wants and doing it, loving the Lord and living for him as he says we are to live. There's two examples of people with faith and works that are given in verse 21 to 23. Verse 21 says, Abraham was justified by works. Now, if we pull that verse out of context, we will think that Abraham's good actions saved him. What he did made him right before God. But that is not what this passage is saying. Abraham did not receive salvation because he obeyed God's law. People were not saved in the Old Testament because they obeyed the law, and in the New Testament, saved by faith. Genesis 15, verse 6 is quoted in James chapter 2, verse 23, saying of Abraham that he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness, faith in the Lord. Romans 4 and Galatians 3 clearly say that Abraham had faith in the Lord and was justified by faith in the Lord. Verse 25, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. The word justified here can be used in two different ways. One is God declaring someone forgiven and innocent and righteous through Jesus Christ. They are justified by God, justified before God by Jesus Christ. And the second way justified can be used, and it's used here, is in the sense of showing one has faith, demonstrating one's faith. There is a saying, he was justified by his actions, meaning his actions proved that what he said is true. James 2, verse 21 is talking about Abraham's actions proving he had faith in the Lord. Justified by works, his obedience to God in taking Isaac up that mountain, totally prepared to sacrifice him, proved he had faith in the Lord. Abraham knew God promised to bless the world through him, through Isaac, and Abraham knew God prohibited human sacrifices, yet he trusted God fully when God said, sacrifice Isaac. Abraham knew that he and Isaac would return off that mountain no matter what happened up there on that mountain. He said before going up in Genesis 22, verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. He trusted God and followed whatever God said, knowing that God has got this. God's got this. And so he goes. Abraham was not perfect. He committed adultery. He lied. But he repented and was forgiven. His pattern of life was faith in God, demonstrated by how he lived. Verse 22, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Faith was active. It was alive with obedience, faith and works. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, incomplete, dead. Faith and works are inseparable. Being a born again, new creation in Jesus Christ is inseparable from living a life of worshiping Jesus Christ with your life. Saving faith is active faith, which is seen in one's life. Inactive faith is dead faith. Verse 25, the same faith and actions happened with Rahab. Her actions came from her faith in the God of Israel. She laid her life on the line for God's people, trusting God would come and destroy the city, but spare her. Her faith in God manifested in practical actions she took to help those messengers. Verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Again, just in case we are not catching it, to say you have faith in Jesus, that you believe in Jesus, that you are a Christian, and you don't live for Jesus, you don't obey the word of God, you don't worship him with your life, that is not saving faith laid out in the Bible. That is nothing. Useless, empty words. It's dead. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. The Apostle Paul is clear that our works do not make us righteous before God. And James confronts this belief that works are out of the picture of salvation. Paul and James combined clearly show faith and works are inseparable. Faith is seen in the life lived by the believer. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10 links it well. Listen to this. This is in Scripture. If you have your Bible, turn there. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 8. I want you to see some of these things for yourself. I'm hoping you're following along so that it's not, oh, Edgar said that, and I just don't agree with Edgar. I want you to be able to see this in Scripture so that you'll go, I agree with Scripture or I don't agree with Scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. God's grace saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Gift from God, not our works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, not works. And as saved new creations in Christ, we have good works to do for our Lord and our Master and our God. A transformation took place where we do good works for the Lord because we have received his gift of salvation. Matthew 7, verse 17, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Genuine believers have faith in God and bear the fruit of good works prepared for them to do by the Lord himself. Church, there is so much deception going on right now in the world. So much. And lots of it is coming from people who say they are Christians. So-called Christians are promoting actions, promoting living that is opposed to the Bible. There are people claiming to have faith in Jesus Christ, yet live no different than any pagan that's ever been. They're nice people, but they live like nice people who are going to hell because they have no faith in Jesus Christ. And something very strange has been accepted by the church. We have been trained to not question anyone's claim to being a Christian. I'm a Christian. Are you really a Christian? Why do you say you're a Christian? Who are you to say that I am not a Christian? Who are you to question my Christianity, my beliefs? That goes on throughout the church. Whenever anyone says they're a Christian, we are scared to say anything back, to challenge them, to compare how they live with the Bible. Because our standard is outside of us. It's from Scripture. That's the standard of who is a true believer in Jesus Christ. Because there's the gospel. It's an objective truth that's there. Not this truth that I feel. Someone who doesn't care. Hear this. Try to hear this clearly. Someone who doesn't care what the Bible says, okay? Someone who doesn't care what the Bible says, who ignores the Bible, stays away from the Bible, that is a heart that doesn't care what God says. Why do I say that? Because the Bible is God's word. If you don't care about it, if you ignore it, you're not caring about what God says. And therefore, there won't be any works of righteousness for the glory of God because you won't know what the works of righteousness are. You won't know what God has in store, this abundant life, enjoying him by obeying him. That won't be known because the Bible is ignored. And that shows you don't have faith in the saving blood of God the Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm not saved, not a Christian. Because someone feels like a Christian, because someone self-identifies as a Christian, doesn't mean they are a Christian according to the Bible. The devil disguises himself as an angel of light, claiming to be from God, but he's the devil. Saving faith always produces God-honoring works. In John 3, verse 16 to 21, Jesus says that those who genuinely have faith in him, they obey his words. And evil people, they don't. Unsaved people don't obey his words. John 3, verse 35 to 36, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Believe and obey. Believe and obey. Faith and works. Savior and Lord. Salvation does not require faith plus works, but works are a genuine outgrowth of saving faith. Faith and works are always a package, never one without the other. Where there is faith in the Lord, there is a life lived for the Lord. Now, you're probably shooting this back at me very quickly. No one's perfect, including you, Edgar. Yes, we know this. We know this. That is zero excuse to reject any of this. Zero. We know we cannot live the life God requires of us. We know that. How do we know that? Because Jesus came. Jesus could live the life required by the Lord, that perfect life. And he did come and live that perfect, sinless life in our place, and it was accredited to me upon my salvation. And the Holy Spirit has changed me into a new creation and is changing me into being more and more like Christ. He's empowering me more and more to live my life in worship of the Lord. So, big picture, of course, I'm not perfect. You can pick out all kinds of things that I do wrong. And I'll add to your list if you want it. Big picture, my life pattern, okay? My trajectory with repentance and God's forgiveness is my faith in Jesus spilling out in a life lived in worship of the Lord. Those two go together. And this is so encouraging, having my living faith in Jesus seen in what I am doing on a daily basis. What the Bible says being obeyed and lived out in my life. That's the active work of the Holy Spirit showing that I'm God's child. These God-honoring activities or decisions or things I do are evidence that I belong to the sovereign Lord. Among the messiness of my life, there is evidence of salvation. Praise God. If you have repented and have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sin, you will have God-honoring works and deeds in your life. You will be growing and growing more and more in actions done to glorify the Lord. You will desire feeding on God's word, the Bible, and living according to how he says we are to live, what he says in the Bible. Don't be deceived by this false gospel that's out there that just says, just say you're a Christian and you're good to go. John Calvin said, faith alone justifies. Faith alone justifies. But the faith that justifies is never alone. If you ignore the Bible, if you are not concerned about the Bible, if God-honoring actions and deeds, if a Christian life can't be seen in you, a Christian life defined by the Bible, that pattern, then repent of your sin today. Put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Become a new creation today and begin living your life in worship of God, having faith in Him, being a new creation, and enjoying the abundant life being lived for the Lord. Messy, yes. Sin, yes. Being not perfect, yes, of course. But a new creation with your trajectory aimed at the Lord, worshiping, living for the Lord. Listen to these verses again, picked out in these James chapter 2, verse 14 and 26, 27. Listen to this. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith apart from works is useless. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. May we have a living faith in the Lord, which is evidenced by lives that are lived in worship of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, if we can say amen to having salvation in you and works, righteous works in our lives, that is totally because of you. Totally because of you, and we give you thanks and we give you praise, and we don't take self-credit for it. We don't stand looking down on anybody else who does not live that way, who is not saved. We do not do that, Lord. Help us to not do that, Lord. But with humility, be so grateful for the gift of salvation. Father, there are some that are amongst us, that are in our lives, that only have words that they have faith in you. Lord, we ask that you would open their eyes to your truth, that you would crush the false understanding that they have of Jesus the Savior and salvation, that you would tear that down and you would build up your true gospel according to your word in their hearts and their minds, that they would be faced with that. Father, we ask that you would save our friends and our family members who do not worship you. Lord, save them. They're popping in our minds right now. Please, Father, save these lost loved ones. Lord, let us not be deceived. Let us not be deceived here at Calvary Baptist Church to follow any message that is contrary to your word. Keep us firmly in your word. Keep us humble. Father, help us to rejoice in the gospel that is laid out in Scripture. Build us up, Father. Thank you for being so good to us. You are praised. You are worshiped. You are the only God. And Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation.